Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Friday, March 22nd. It is the fourth Friday of the month, which means at this time we get a law enforcement update with Ottawa County's top elected law enforcement official. With all due respect to prosecuting attorney Lee Fisher, it is Sheriff Steve Kempker on the other side of our table this morning. Steve, good morning. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing this morning?
We are well. He is joined by the new undersheriff of Ottawa County, Eric DeBoer. Eric, good morning and welcome to WHTC.
Thanks, Gary. Good morning to you as well.
Glad you are with us. If you have a question about law enforcement, these gentlemen would be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. First of all, Steve, let me ask a question about the situation we are outside right now. I've mentioned this a few moments ago. I think our motorists have short-term memories. We have nice weather, and then they forget how to drive in winter weather, and let's just say it's been a busy morning.
It has, Gary. Right away this morning, when I looked at our screen, the crews out there are busy. Some of the main roads are good, but driving in here this morning at some of the back and secondary roads are extremely slippery yet. And as you said, hopefully this is the last show for the year.
With snow.
Yes, right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean your show. and it looks like it's going to continue through the afternoon, so we may have, a little trying times of people traveling on their evening commute. We just ask everybody, just slow down, give yourself some more time, give yourself that distance between each other. Just on the way in here now, I noticed, there's several cars in the ditch and a couple minor fender benders, but, to be honest with you, Gary, we've had a pretty easy winter for the sheriff's office when it came to, crashes and that. And when we saw those gaps, like we have with the nice weather, and then you get a little blast of snow and then the nice weather again, and I'm probably guilty of it too, you have a tendency of kind of, like you said, a little memory blurb there of how to drive in the winter conditions again. And again, this morning's a little bit of a challenge. But again, just give yourself some time. The road crews are out. And obviously the primary roads are their first focus, and then they'll get to the secondary roads.
The other thing I want to mention before we talk, especially with Eric, is the fact that, and I'll highlight this on Monday, the road construction season begins in earnest on Monday. First of all, in Allegan County, where the junction of M40 and M89 south of Allegan is going to be turned into a roundabout, and it's a project that's going to last through Thanksgiving. On Tuesday, the MDOT staffers will hold a public meeting at the Howard Miller Library in Zeeland from 4 till 5:30 to advance the ongoing pending construction or reconstruction of Business 196 from US 31 to 88th Avenue. It's that time of year. Slow down.
It is. And, one thing that we do with MDOT and with our road commission is they do ask us to come in and work enforcement in those work zones. So please pay attention to the signage and your speed through those zones. We just don't want to have a tragedy. And again, those zones can sometimes get confusing. But I think over the years, MDOT Road Commission has done an extremely good job of the pre-warning signs. As you have noticed, I know you have to commute through some of those occasionally on your way here, that, they've kind of redesigned how they set up some of these construction zones and the flow of traffic to make things easier. But again, you always have to be aware, in those construction zones. And, I have the same frustrations that many other people have when you get stuck in one or have to detour around one. But again, I think when you see the, like I came down through 6th Street, on my way in here today to, to see how that turned out. Great project. It really smooth flow through there. It looks nice. But obviously with our roadways, there's going to be constant construction and rebuilding and redesign, especially as our area grows with the redesign issues.
A point I made to John Richard of MDOT when I chatted with him a few weeks ago, some of the signs, especially on freeways, When we narrow to one lane, there's a sign that says, take turns.
Right, exactly.
And I said, why don't you add another one? Play nice.
Yes, that would probably be a very good sign to have, Gary. We occasionally see the frustrations build with people. And you really, what do you gain by maybe stopping and letting a car through and then you go? I think we've talked about it before. It's like driving up US 31. That car passes you zooming along, and when you get to the red light, you pull up behind them. Are you really gaining anything? Patience in those work zones. And I would like to say there'd be a season without construction, but I don't think we'll ever see that.
Not in this atmosphere. And another story I'll throw, and then we'll get to Eric, is the fact that, and it deals with the conditions right now. Take your time. Go slow if you have to. Don't try to steam your way through, because there was one time I was getting on to westbound I-196 off of the 32nd Avenue entrance, and a truck blew through and blinded me, and I skidded and went into a ditch, needed Mr. Tow to pull me out. And as I was driving after I got pulled out and I drove by, the truck that blew me off the road in the ditch.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think, Gary, we've talked about it many times over the years. You get that false sense of security with all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. If it's ice under those tires, whether you have four-wheel or all-wheel, it's potentially just as dangerous. People get a little bit overconfident with that sometimes, even though, it does give you better traction control in that. It is very easy to still go in the ditch with a four-wheeler.
If you got a question for Ottawa County Sheriff Steve Kempker or Under Sheriff Eric DeBoer, they'll be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. As we bring Eric into our discussion, Steve, I will start with you. Well, actually, I do have one more news question to ask you real quick. Wednesday, 6 o'clock, the application process opened for 25 spots for the Citizens Police Academy.
Yes, and I told you I would check as we sat down here. The link is still open on our website.
Ooh, I'm surprised.
This is probably one of the things we post. He said they're the sergeant that runs this program for us. Said that they have a number of people that have signed up, but we've left the link open and people are still welcome to sign up. This is probably one of our most popular programs that we do. It fills up, I think last year it filled up within a half a day. But the link is still open. It'll probably remain open till the end of today, Friday. So if any listeners are listening, if you go to myottawa.org and to the Sheriff's Office section, there is a link on there for the Citizens Police Academy.
Before we get to a call, I just want to get either one of you can explain real quickly, what exactly is the Citizens Police Academy?
Yeah, it's several weeks long, Gary, and it's just a really quick snapshot and overview of the sheriff's office, including the correction side of things. They go over to dispatch, which is actually a separate entity of the sheriff's. It's not related to the sheriff's office. They're their own kind of separate jurisdiction entity over there. They go into a courtroom situation. They actually do a ride along with a deputy out on the road. They actually get down on our range and are able to shoot, obviously under our supervision. But I have never heard a negative comment about the Citizens Police Academy. We've had people say, hey, can I sign up for a second time? We've had people that have attended multiple Citizen Police Academies like Holland and ours. So again, great success. It really gives people, I think, a true look at what we do every day. And the biggest comment I always hear is, wow, I didn't realize that something like this is this detailed or this time consuming for you and all the services that we provide to the citizens here in Ottawa County.
Let's get to a call before we get to our chat with the undersheriff. Good morning. You're on the line with Sheriff Steve Kempker.
Good morning. My wife and I are residents of Holland. However, we spend half of our life, winter months, in South Florida, in Lee County. A few years ago, we went through attended the Lee County Sheriff's Academy down here. And both of us, we've always had respect for law enforcement. But again, this really brought that to a whole new level of every aspect of what is involved in law enforcement in the county level and everything else. It was great. I received an email the other day for signing up for the Ottawa County Academy, but it's starting in 1st of May or so, and we're not willing to come back just yet.
You don't want to come back today, I can tell you that.
No, I know, and I have a webcam. I'm not coming anywhere near Holland at all. But I would encourage, if you would, to have some more classes. Do I understand you have just one a year or what?
We do, and I can be totally honest with you. We've talked with our staff what would be the possibility of running two of these a year, one early spring and one maybe toward the, just before the end of summer and the start of fall, because I've had this comment before from, some of the people that do leave our area during the winter months. And I will definitely bring this back up to staff. It is a large undertaking, but I think we could easily look at pulling off two of these a year to try to accommodate more. And I know the sheriff of Leake County, surprisingly. And yes, he's a very good
Kevin
guy.
Kevin Marcino, yes, he's great.
We've attended a few things together, and yes, you see how he runs things there in Florida. And I've heard and have seen, he runs an excellent Citizens Police Academy down there and actually runs a very, very good sheriff's office down there, too. But I appreciate the comment, and it's something that I'll definitely take back to our staff and see if it's something that we can make happen.
How long is your academy right now? It's 12 weeks down here, meets once a week for 3 hours, and every hour of that was a different aspect, and it was incredible.
Yeah, I think we're running right now at about 8 weeks, and it's a couple hours when they do meet. And, they touch on so many different topics. I think the one that's the longest is like the two-hour block where they do kind of a mock trial. We have one of our judges actually comes in, the prosecutor comes in, and they kind of walk everybody through all the steps of a trial and like a jury trial and how that selection for a jury occurs. A lot of people are curious of, what are these sidebars, what's discussed during those, and what that process is. But, yeah, we touch on everything from our community policing to our regular road patrol. And like I said, a lot of people forget that sheriffs are responsible for the correctional facility in their county. And that's a large operation even for us. And a lot of people, like I said, I've never had a negative comment out of this. And it really gives our citizens, a good overview of what we really do. I always say, they find out where their tax dollars are going to, and it's such a positive thing for us in the community, and that's why I really like your comment of, maybe opening up a second one during the year.
Just one last comment. We also had exposure to forensics down here and a giant building full of all kinds of evidence and how they keep that, and it was just interesting. I don't know if you go into that as well, but
yes, we do.
It was all great.
Yeah, we have a lab by us. Obviously, we're not as large as Leake County, but many of our aspects are the same of other sheriff's office as far as operations and type of units and everything that we deal with.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 616-395-1450. And yes, I'm going to be a gadfly. I'll put the bug in Frank Baker's ear and see if we can get Allegan County to do one, too.
There you go.
All right, let's, Steve, I'm going to have you formally introduce Eric DeBoer and explain a little bit about not only the circumstances that led to his appointment as the undersheriff, but some of the things that you saw in him that you felt made him the ideal choice to succeed Valerie Weiss.
Yes, well, undersheriff Valerie Weiss retired about a month ago. And again, the position of undersheriff is extremely important within an agency. And, I had to make that decision. As you know, I'm retiring at the end of the year. I had to look for somebody that, has a lot of good, qualities, somebody that is going to, even forward the momentum within the agency, in the future. somebody that's got really kind of a really good open mind as to ideas in that, where we are going to go, because we are growing as a county and as a sheriff's office. And, you know, our world is constantly changing. I needed somebody that had that skill set, somebody that understands our community is extremely important, somebody that lives in this community, has basically kind of grown up a little bit in this community, and really cares about not only the sheriff's office, but our community. Somebody that has that same community policing philosophy that we've carried for many years in this agency, which has been a key to our success, and I always say it's our backbone of the sheriff's office is community policing. And, you know, and somebody that's willing to listen to the citizens. And obviously, Gary, we have to listen to the good and the bad and come up with solutions. And Eric is very forward-thinking and very innovative. I say this, he's very intelligent. And again, when it was time to look, you know, Eric now knows what it means when I said, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. When we proposed this to him, and I think from that time, he'll tell you it's been a life-changing experience, but very positive. And he's being very well received, both in the community. And I feel extremely comfortable. And this is one thing I learned from the former Sheriff Rosma, is that, you know, he felt very comfortable with handing the agency over to myself. You know, and it's a position where he's going to oversee a lot. He's going to do a lot. But again, very fast learner, very forward thinking, and really cares about, you know, the culture of our county and our agency.
Therefore, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a bit of a ride. But, you know, to the sheriff's point, you know, what has made the sheriff's office in Nottawa County so successful is that is the time and the care that we've taken to have our deputies weave themselves into each community that we serve, so that they're seen as part of that community, right? So ultimately, when there's an issue, whether that be criminal or, you know, just a neighborhood issue, that our people can get involved and can help solve that, and that's what leads to that trust factor that happens. So when you look at how you want to move forward as a department and the you know, any type of efficiencies you're looking to put into our processes, you got to make sure that that concept of being a part of the community, it doesn't suffer, because there's a certain inefficiency to it, but it's a choice in order to serve the people well. So going forward and just taking something out of a textbook and applying it without thinking is something you can't just do. So learning exactly why it is we've done the things we've done as I've gone through my career and realizing the thought processes behind it has been a lot of fun. But I look forward to continuing to work on keeping our department part of these communities.
Eric, let me pose this question to you. Promotion from sheriff to, pardon me, from sergeant to under sheriff. Little intimidating or no big deal?
Well, that's a loaded question. Yeah, of course. I mean, the change in perspective, right? You know, you go from being out on the street at night, not seeing the administration much, having been at headquarters for a number of years as a detective. You know, I knew most of the administrative personnel that way. But then going back out and kind of just being one of the guys and not knowing why things happened the way they did and just doing what you're doing, to going and peeking behind the curtain, to jump in the office with Under Sheriff Weiss to learn kind of how things work in the upper administrative portion, was like drinking through a fire hose, but it was fun. I mean, honestly, it's a department I've worked for since I was 19 years old. I live for it. I bleed for it. And so to be told that the people that you trust the most believe in you, makes you feel pretty good about it. Makes some of that intimidation go away pretty quick.
Intimidation is one thing, but also respect, because it is one thing to maybe gradually go from sergeant to lieutenant to captain to under sheriff like that. From sergeant to under sheriff, a big jump like that, where you now are the superior for people who were your superiors just a short time ago. Again, that's another part of the aspect you had to learn.
Yeah, you know, and I was concerned that there might be some, you know, some awkwardness with it, but I can't overstate the amount of support I've felt from our command unit, our executive team. You know, to your point, you know, it wasn't 2 years ago, I was answering to Captain Sparks from the investigative unit when I was a detective, and now, you know, now I'm the undersheriff. But to a person, each one of them has been unbelievably supportive, getting me up to speed, helping me understand, you know, the parts of the department that I didn't come up in, and knowing that I support the units that I was a part of as well, and not looking to undercut any of those people. But yeah, I mean, like anything else new, it's you know, it's a learning curve, but they've been very gracious with me.
The other challenge I see in your position, Eric, is the fact that you've been pretty much in an organizational type setup, you know, orders and routines and stuff like that. Now you're venturing, as you have made an intention to run for sheriff in the upcoming November election, the August primary for the Republican nomination. That's an entirely different animal, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you know, and that's another learning curve. But as the sheriff's mentioned, and I've always believed that I'm a pretty fast learner. And so, again, you just surround yourself with people that give you good advice, and you take it and you consider it, and you mark a path. So that's how I choose to work as the undersheriff, and that's how I choose to do things outside of work as well.
A couple of news type things to finish up our conversations to both of you. First of all, within the last couple of weeks, the state police issued a new directive for troopers involving high-speed chases, police pursuits, now basically saying if there was a major crime involved or there's a danger, they'll pursue. Other than that, they're not going to pursue. I can understand public safety being paramount, but I'd rather go after the bad guy right away than let him go, and then all of a sudden you have a few more crimes because you didn't do the pursuit.
Yeah, Gary, it's one of those things where it has to be weighed very carefully in these situations. You know, the state police policy that just came out, our policy was already in place that matched what the state police just came out with. Obviously, public safety is a concern, but also a concern is, you know, during these chases, when a pursuit does take place, is the safety of our, you know, bystanders on the street. Obviously, in our capacities, we have to look at, you know, liability. You know, I was on the street. Eric was on the street. It's like the bad guy just got away. But again, with, you know, between technology and other things, sometimes we're able to advance forward and apprehend this person. But public safety, you know, is obviously number one during these situations. And I fully get it when you look at some of the incidents. You know, off a traffic violation, it's just at times may not be worth it.
The other thing is, I know it's a little bit early, and we'll probably have you guys, or at least one of you, hit with us before it happens. But planning already security concerns involving tulip time with a lot of people in town.
Yes, Holland Police Department. Every year we come in at their request to assist them. That's been longstanding for many, many years. But those, you know, I know Holland Department of Public Safety has those meetings taking place already. We are involved in those meetings, and we do supply them support, as we have done. And we do the same thing with, like, the large Coast Guard Festival in Grand Haven. We supply support to them. And trust me, Gary, there's a lot of time and effort, both from local, state, and federal levels, for an event like this to make sure that they are safe and secure. And trust me, the citizens can feel very confident that we are there with Holland Department of Public Safety, who does an excellent job of running tulip time. I know some people may grumble about the traffic and traffic jams at times, but they do their best, and we do our best to help them.
Sheriff Steve Kempker, Under Sheriff Eric DeBoer, Ottawa County. Gentlemen, thank you for stopping
thank
by.
You, Gary.
Talk
Thanks
to both
of
you again later in the year.
Take care.
On 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.